A dozen years ago, Ross Perot compared the federal budget deficit to the crazy old ant in the attic that everyone tried to ignore. The deficit is higher now than it was then, and yet it received little attention in the presidential campaign. But it is going to have an impact on Congress and President Bush in his second term. Joining me now to talk about the deficit is David Wessel, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just how big is the deficit right as we speak?
Well, for the fiscal year that ended on September 30th, the deficit was $413 billion. That's more dollars than it's ever been before. Although that's not really the best way to measure it. The best way to measure the deficit is to compare it against the size of the economy. By that measure, the deficit worked out to about 3.6% of what they call gross domestic product. That's actually a lot lower than it was during the bad old days of Ronald Reagan's 1980s. But it's much higher than it was in the late 90s when we were running a surplus.
So it sounds bad to the average person. Is it indeed a problem for the economy?
It is not a problem for the economy today. It's hard to make the case that the economy is slowing down. Job growth was pretty good last month. It's hard to make the case that interest rates are up because the deficit is so big. The problem really isn't today's deficit. It's the prospect that deficits of this magnitude for the rest of the decade, and then the real big problems start when the baby boomers start retiring.
And the baby boomers will begin to draw on Social Security how soon?
The very first baby boomers will be eligible for Social Security in 2008. You have to be 62 to get your Social Security benefits. So this demographic tidal wave is about to wash over us.
And when you say, you know, this tidal wave is going to wash over us, what effects will it have?
Right now, if you look at what we're spending money on and you look at what the tax code will bring in revenues, you see that they don't meet. And despite the president's promises to shrink it in half over the next 4 years, when you look at a reasonable forecast of the economy, the cost of Iraq, the likelihood that Congress will increase spending on something, it's very hard to see that gap narrowing in the near term. Once the baby boomers start retiring, then the cost of Social Security and the cost of Medicare start to rise steadily but inexorably. And if we don't have a balance before that happens, then we're going to run a very big deficit when that happens, probably bigger than we can sustain.
Which, looking ahead, would be paid by, or by whom or by what?
People who worry about the deficit, and I'm one of them, think that what we're doing now is asking our kids and grandchildren to pay the bills that we're running up now. At some point, the bill gets so big that you can't borrow anymore at decent interest rates. At some point, the rest of the world begins to look at the U.S. government as some sort of over-leveraged, over-hocked borrower, the same way a bank might look at a customer who had mortgaged and had too many credit card bills. We're not anywhere near that point yet. And the idea is to somehow do something before we get to that point.
What if, David, when all is said and done, nothing is done to reduce the deficit in the next 4 years?
If nothing is done to reduce the deficit in each of the four fiscal years, that's probably not a huge problem. If we go another 4 years without addressing the longer-term problems, the problems presented by a benefit structure that promises more to the baby boomers than it looks like we can afford to pay, then we'll either find ourselves abruptly cutting benefits, abruptly raising taxes, or finding ourselves borrowing ever more money from the rest of the world and finding that we have to pay increasingly high interest rates to do that.
David Wessel is Deputy Washington Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks very much.
Thank you.